throughout Scripture, fathers are admonished to teach their children the ways of the Lord. But is the job of fatherhood more difficult today because of worldly persuasions and evolutionary philosophy? Stay tuned.
The Bible tells us several times in several different ways that we're to guard the truth. We're to make sure we pass it on.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. Raising children in the world in which we now live is not an easy task. Ungodly influences and the constant attack on Christianity and the truth of creation are issues parents must fight through in order to train up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As leaders in the home, fathers are responsible to lead the family in the truth of God's Word. Why is this so important? Stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we discuss the vital role that God has given fathers in the spiritual lives of their children. Psalm 44:1 tells us, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days in the times of old." Vision Forum President Doug Phillips says fathers in biblical times understood the importance of passing down historical events to their children.
We know that in part because the Old Testament, and I'm thinking specifically of the book of Genesis, is filled with the stories of fathers telling the creation account and the great deeds of God to their children. In fact, as Dr. Henry Morris pointed out, the word toledoth, which means generations, found in the book of Genesis and repeated 11 to 12 times, is really a bookmark. It's the place in which the fathers wrote down not only the creation account, but the stories of God, and then passed them on to their children. So when you read the book of Genesis and you see, now these are the generations of Shem, or these are the generations of Abraham, what we might be reading is the part of the story of God the Creator and His unfolding plan for man, told through the fathers, and then written down, of course compiled later by Moses himself, and passed on to the sons.
ICR President Dr. John Morris tells us that as in Old Testament days, it is vital that we pass on the truth of God to our next generation.
The Bible tells us several times in several different ways that we're to guard the truth. We're to make sure we pass it on in its integrity and fullness, especially father to a child. And so we indoctrinate our children with the truth. It's a good thing to pass on precisely the information from father to son or father to child. In this way, there's a multi-generational truth that's passed on.
Dr. Morris says his father, ICR founder Dr. Henry Morris, was an excellent example of keeping the biblical truth of creation alive for the next generation.
I grew up in that home then where the concepts of creation were readily available. I saw him as he did his research. I was there as he wrote his books. And this made an indelible impression on me. I remember in biology class in high school, the issue of evolution came up, and so I offered to debate one of the class evolutionists on this. This was my first creation evolution debate. It was in my 10th grade biology class, and I remember him working with me to give me some examples, give me some ideas, and that made such an impression. I began to be grounded firmly in the truth, not only of Christianity, but of creation. It's very important for a father to pass on to his children the truth, to pass it on, not with any mixture of error mixed in, to pass on the truth. This is what the Bible requires.
ICR creation speaker Bruce Malone says if fathers do not present the right kind of teaching at home, their children will be overtaken with the influence of the world.
If they do not place any priority on helping their children understand where they came from, if fathers just kind of tend to ignore it and don't say anything about it the whole time their children are growing up, your children are going to pick up the attitude of the world around them, because it's an overwhelming barrage of information coming at them that they're here just as a result of natural forces, and if God's involved at all, he really hasn't done much specifically, and certainly not in a biblical creation of separate plants and animals. So it is very important that fathers make it a priority to help their children understand they are being deceived by the world and they can trust God's word.
Doug Phillips.
We live in an entertainment-based culture which is communicating the wrong images of what the role of a father is. We see absentee fathers. We see self-serving fathers. We see fathers that are caught up in their own world. Well, this is a problem. It's a problem, the message our fathers are getting from television and the message they're getting from the film industry. That message is one which is rooted in evolutionism that says that really there's nothing special about the family. There's nothing transcendent about the biblical values of fatherhood, that the family is simply a societal concoction of people that came together, which is purely utilitarian in nature. And that simply isn't true. The family was designed by God as described in the book of Genesis right from the very beginning.
Bruce Malone.
You see, parents were given by God to be an authority figure over their children, to represent God's authority over all of us. And evolution totally undermines that because it says there is no authority. We're just evolved creatures that have no rules, so we can make them up for ourselves with predictable consequences.
Dr. Morris would agree and says the evolutionary influence on children goes far beyond incorrect scientific views.
When we think about evolution, we don't just think about, a frog changing into a mammal. And evolution is more than that. It's a complete worldview. It's a way of thinking. It's an idea about who we are, not just where we came from. It's a worldview. It's a religion, as it were, the religion of naturalism, that all this happened by natural processes. Our kids are getting this religion of naturalism taught in the name of science in the school classrooms. It's not just a wrong scientific view. It's the religion that is the opposite to Christianity.
It's true that fathers have many obstacles to overcome in teaching biblical and scientific truth to their families. However, as Dr. Morris says, it is a duty that must be done.
It is a difficult job for fathers to pass on to their children, especially in view of the fact that the school systems of our land are so diametrically opposed to a biblical worldview. To find the error, to sort it out, to give answers, to give a truthful alternative, this is a big job, but yet it is the job. In fact, you remember when God chose Abraham, he says, I choose you because I know that you will train your children in the right way. And he commanded Abraham, and he commands us to teach them at every opportunity. This is a hard job. It's a lifelong job. But it is the only way to pass on and have the truth have a multi-generational impact.
But what about fathers and mothers who feel that they don't know enough about science to effectively counter evolutionary explanations of origins? Bruce Malone says the basic issues of creation and evolution can be easily understood.
Parents don't have to be intimidated because none of the subjects dealing with creation and evolution are rocket science. They are really very understandable. There is a biblical model that says there was a sudden appearance of various forms of life. There really was a fall of man because man sinned, and therefore God instituted death, and that's where death came from. Not because God made it that way and there's always been death, but because man sinned against God, God instituted death so that he could then later come as man to take the penalty we deserve. I mean, that's Christianity. It's so important for fathers to make that connection between why do things die? Why do animals die? Why do people have to die? It's not just the natural order of things. It's because of our actions that death and disease and destructions and natural disasters are occurring. It's our fault. It's not God's fault.
And when children learn this, it builds their faith in the Word of God.
The actual evidence for why we can trust God's Word always deals with the physical world around us. You see, any religion can just make up a bunch of philosophical things, but the Bible specifically talks about the physical world, where it came from, how God made things, when he made things. You know, it gives us a framework for biology. Creatures reproduce after their own kind. It gives us a framework for geology. There really was a worldwide flood, and that's what laid down the rock layers and the fossils and the sediments all over this earth. And you can start pointing those things out. And without even trying to develop some strict curriculum, all of a sudden your kids become excited about both the Bible and the world around them. And I think that's what God desires.
Doug Phillips says fathers should not only teach their children these creation truths from the Word of God, but should also use the Bible as an instruction manual for themselves on how to be a good parent.
We need to go back to the Bible. We need to open up the lost book of the law. We need to read the clear statements of Scriptures. You know, the Bible says Fathers, parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, we're to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And this principle of teaching and of training and of father-based discipleship is as old as the earth. It's as old as the record in Genesis chapter 5, the record of the fathers that trained their sons in the disciplines. Fatherhood is important. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and on, reminds us that God has given us fatherhood on this earth to point us to the Heavenly Father, that even as earthly fathers discipline the children that they love, so much more the Heavenly Father disciplines us because He loves us. But dads need to hear that message, they need to read the Bible, and they need to recognize the devastating influence of evolutionary thinking on the modern notion of fatherhood.
Bruce Malone agrees and says there are several things that can help a father raise his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
The main thing I believe a father needs to do is to sort out his priorities. His first priority needs to be being a godly father, his devotion to God. You know, if he's not devoted to God, his children are going to see that. You can't fake that. You have to have that personal relationship with the Lord and love for the Lord. And that will go a long way toward drawing your children, because if a father is excited about something, his children become excited about that. Second, you need to be in alignment with your wife. You need to treat her with love and respect and not undermine her in any way, because that unity between a husband and wife makes a huge difference. Thirdly, you need to make your children a priority. I know we all have to make a living and we have to provide the sustenance for our families, but that shouldn't be our exclusive goal in life.
We've talked today about the importance of fathers teaching their children about creation and the truth of God's Word. But as Doug Phillips tells us, the most important truth everyone should understand is that God, our Heavenly Father, has made a way for us to live with Him forever in heaven.
My prayer for our listeners today is that all of us would recognize our desperate need for God the Father. We're children of the Creator of the universe, and we've sinned. We have left the law of God, and we have broken that law. And God calls us to return unto Him by coming through the Son. No man comes unto me except through the Son. So fatherhood and sonship is the message of redemption. It's the message of hope. It's the message of the gospel, that the Father so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And my prayer is that all those listening today would run to the Son so they can learn of the Heavenly Father.
As our program comes to a close, we hope that you've been encouraged. It's our desire at ICR to show that the Bible can be trusted, both historically and scientifically, and to give facts that will build your faith. As Christians, we need to understand the scientific basis for our beliefs. We pray that this program will aid you in your discovery of science and the Bible. You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.